On this week's episode of What the Puck, the boys are back in town, Backy can't sneeze in Sochi, and the Caps' run to the playoffs starts in Florida. All this and more on this week's episode of What the Puck. Welcome, everybody. Welcome to a brand new edition of What the Puck. It's a Washington Capitals podcast. How's everybody doing out there in podcast land? Thank you for downloading the show on iTunes, Stitcher, the Baltimore Sports Report Network, or CapsHill.com. Joining me, as always, via Skype, but this time, since I left my iPad at work, we're talking through my phone, so this sounds a little iffy. It's my fault. Coach Dan, what's going on, man?
Not too much. How you doing?
I'm doing good, man. So let's talk about it. Let's jump right into this. The Olympics are over. Everybody's back in D.C., except for one guy. But let's just talk about what's happened in Sochi so far. All right, well, the big thing coming out of Sochi this time around, let's talk about the U.S., man, finishing fourth in the Olympics. I was definitely shocked by this, but let's talk about what went wrong here. After that Canada game where it really seemed like they weren't completely there, Patrick Kane before the Olympics said, it's go gold or go home. Pretty much when they realized they weren't going to get gold, it felt like they were already on that plane ride home, even before they even hit up against Finland.
It's funny that Kane would say that, since throughout the entire tournament, it seems like he didn't do jack squat on the score sheet. I think a lot of guys didn't show up. Zach Parise, Patrick Kane, two of the big ones that did not do anything offensively for this team. I mean, guys like Phil Kessel definitely stepped up and put the puck in the back of the net and did their best to get them wins. But, you know, it was interesting that they're both of their losses, the last two games, those being to Canada and Finland, they got shut out in both. You know, the one nothing loss to Canada I thought was bad because they had the opportunities in the first period. They very well could have been up, you know, 2-0, 3-0 at the end of that first period, but they weren't able to get themselves into quality scoring opportunities because no one was stepping up and trying to make anything happen. You know, a lot of shots were just coming around from the outside, but they weren't doing enough to get anything in the middle. I mean, Carey Price was having a good game, no question about it, but you should be able to beat any goalie if you can put enough pucks on net and be able to crash the net and cause trouble for them. They weren't doing that enough. I mean, that's why they lost that game, and then it looks like they were not interested at all. Not all of them, but they weren't interested in that game against Finland. And you know, I mean, congrats to a guy like Teemu Selanne for being able to finish his international career with a bronze medal. It's great for him, but, you know, for the American players, it was a pathetic effort, especially when they lost to Finland. But I do got to give some credit to John Carlson. I actually thought, you know, he had a great first game. He struggled a little bit in the middle, and then I thought in the Canada and in the Finland game, he actually played, you know, no one played great, but he played well enough so that he was able to, you know, do what he could to try and put the team in the right position to get at least a freaking medal out of this entire thing. I think it was in the Finland game, or it might have been the Canada game. I can't remember which one in particular. I want to say Canada, where it was a 2-on-1, and he timed to go down and knock the puck away. He timed it perfectly. It was a beautiful defensive play, and if he can bring that back when he comes back to playing for the Capitals, I mean, they're going to need that help to go the rest of the way.
Yeah, I think that was the Canada game. I was impressed with John Carlson, even though he pretty much did get benched in that game against Russia. It kind of seemed like he wasn't given as long a leash after that game. I mean, he still played well, but I don't feel as if he was really treated with, not the respect, but I felt like the coach really didn't have a lot of faith in John Carlson, so they kind of kept a leash on him a little bit. That Canada game, I think that's really where the wheels came off, but I don't understand what happened there. I mean, it was a 1-0 game. They had to know that this was going to be a big game. I mean, as always, NBC was talking about rivalries and U.S. versus Canada, the rematch from 2010. Were these guys, did they just get stage fright? I mean, mean, the team that played Canada was not the same team that was up against all these other international teams. The U.S. looked amazing in the early rounds. I mean, I was thinking these guys have no problem. They're definitely going to get gold. I mean, this is look at how they. I mean, Russia was not that great of a team, but I'm like, look at how Russia was kind of going toe to toe with them, and then they were able to still come out and win the game. I feel like they never gave up, and you needed that in a tournament like this. But it seems like after that goal that Canada got, they were just like, well, that's it. We're kind of done. We're gonna go home now. And I was so pissed off at the Finland game because, I mean, it was 3-0, 4-0. I didn't even finish the game. I was so annoyed with the way they had played because I was telling everybody, because I'm putting on Facebook and everything, you know, go USA, so excited for this game. Somebody's like, what a game that was, right? And I was just like, they were already on the plane ride home. You could tell there was so much disinterest there. It was unbelievable. I can't believe that they would just give up like that. I was shocked at the way that this tournament rolled out for the U.S. So I don't know what happened. I guess up against Canada, they just didn't bring it that game. They just didn't feel like playing that day.
Well, the loss, I think a loss like that, a 1-0 loss, is going to hurt, and you're going to have, I mean, there's going to be a lot of emotions, a lot of, you know, negative emotions about that kind of a loss, and it sort of, you know, what does it, put the winds out of your sails or whatever. But when you still have the opportunity to go out and win in, you know, an Olympic medal, whether it's a, you know, bronze, I think you still need to go out and show up. And to see that these guys reacted the way they did and just kind of crapping out that last game, I thought it was unacceptable. And now we have to wait another 4 years to be able to see these guys play in the Olympics. And it's going to be interesting to see what the team looks like in 4 years. There's a lot of young guys that are going to step up and play, like Seth Jones and probably Alex Galchenyuk up in playing for the Canadians. You know, so there's definitely it'll be a different team. But guys like Parise and Kane, who are supposed to be leaders on this team, they didn't do nearly enough. And I think, you know, you go and people want to go and talk about Alex Ovechkin and the questions surrounding him. I got questions about the American players. You know, why were they unable to go out and win a bronze? It wasn't like, you know, they weren't a good team. This was a good team on paper. They just didn't do enough.
Now, do you think that lies with the players not showing up? Do you think that's more on Coach Dan Bylsma than anybody else?
I think it's on everybody. I mean, it's one thing. I mean, these are adults. These are not kids playing. It's not like, you know, I work with kids. It's not like I have to go out and motivate a bunch of third graders to go do some sort of sporting activity. You know, these are adults. They play hockey for a living. They're getting paid. Not in the Olympics, but any opportunity to go and play for your country, you don't need to get paid. To have that sort of honor to represent your country should be more than enough. And for them to go over there and just crap out like they did in that loss to Finland was just unacceptable. In regards to Bylsma and his coaching staff, I mean, it's your job to motivate these players. It's your job to get them ready to go. And to see that kind of effort, not just in the first period, but throughout the entire game, was unacceptable on their part. More needed to be done. I know Paul Martin went down with an injury, so Carlson had to play more in that last game, which probably wasn't exactly Bylsma's plan, but it's not like Carlson's some schlub hockey player that, you know, isn't even getting good minutes for his NHL club. This is, you know, these are all very talented players getting top minutes for their NHL clubs, and they had more than enough talented players to be able to go out. So I think right now it falls back on everybody. I don't think there's one person that really, maybe Phil Kessel. I don't really think you could blame Phil Kessel. I mean, he did more than enough, but you know, I think everybody else, certainly, you're looking at him going, and TJ Oshie will give him a pass. But everybody else just sort of gets a nice, like, what the hell, what happened to you?
Yeah, I thought it was interesting. This will be the last thing we talk about for Team USA. I thought it was very interesting that I read on Twitter, and I can't remember who it was, but somebody had done a mention tweet, and it said pretty much, like, the Olympics don't really matter to how people play in the NHL. When you come back, they're over. You just kind of leave that behind in the public kind of forgets about it almost. And then somebody tweeted back to them and was like, yeah, tell that to TJ Oshie, because, you know, everybody knew who he was before these games. So, I mean, the Olympics definitely have a lasting impression on a lot of people. Because I watched the NHL, but I didn't really know TJ Oshie. He wasn't a household name. So it's interesting, and it sucks that this is how the U.S. is going to end the Olympics. It sucks that we're not going to see Olympic hockey for another 4 years. I don't know about you, but I absolutely loved watching the international games. They were a lot of fun. Even though the U.S. came out fourth, I got up early each morning, watched hockey. I absolutely loved it. I thought they were great games. Very different than the NHL. I can't really describe what that big difference is, but they were very
no commercials.
That I think that's my favorite part. No commercials. No.
It goes by so much faster.
Yeah, it does. It does. I thought it was great. So, I'm gonna miss hockey. I really am in that way. So, let's talk a little bit about what happened to Sweden here. The only capital right now to have a medal is Marcus Johansson with a silver. So let's talk about what happened to Sweden in this gold medal game. I mean, Canada looked like they pretty much had this thing wrapped up. But how do you feel that all right, so let's just start off. Let's just talk about the elephant in the room here. It's the fact that Nick Backstrom did not get to play for Team Sweden in that gold medal game because of a doping issue or whatever. Let's talk about that before anything else. What happened here? Why would the International Ice Hockey Federation go after Nick Backstrom like this? And why would they tell him an hour or two before this gold medal game?
The quietest star player in the NHL is the guy who's doping. I mean, it's just ridiculous. It's just they banned him from playing in the final game 2 hours before the game actually was supposed to take place. And the drug that he took, the one he's been taking for 6 years or 7 years, is Zyrtec D. It's a common allergy medication. The team knew about it. It was approved. The issue was that he took what his levels are supposed to be like 1.5 and they're 1.9 or some crap like that.
Yeah.
He's not doing it for performance enhancing. He's not trying to be a better player by taking Zyrtec D. He's trying to be someone who's not going to be sneezing all day. You know, it's ridiculous that was what caused him to not be able to play in the gold medal game. I thought it was complete crap that it came 2 hours before the game. I highly doubt that they didn't know about this until the day of or the day before. And even if they knew the day before, they should have told him right away.
The thing that really annoyed me about this whole situation, he said that they tested him, I think, three times throughout the 2 weeks. So they were going after him. But they did this test. His last test was on Wednesday. And this game, he found out he wasn't playing until 2 hours before the game on Sunday.
That's ridiculous.
You cannot honestly tell me that it took that long for a drug test result to come back. That kind of stuff, 24 hours max is when you figure out somebody's levels. Max. You can definitely get something pretty instant to say whether or not somebody has something in their system, whether that is, you know, a high level of whatever it is in their system or not. That is pretty much instant. So to wait that long and say you're not playing this time, that seems really fishy to me.
Yeah, there's a stat on Twitter right now about hosting the Olympics and how much it costs. It costs $51 billion to host the Olympics in Sochi. I don't know if that's entirely accurate, but I got to think, I've heard it's just like way up in the billions. It's just freaking ridiculous how much it costs. And I know there's a lot of athletes and they're probably drug testing everyone multiple times, but if you're spending that kind of money, you have more than enough capabilities and the financial ability to get these results back quickly. So for it to come back on 2 hours before the game is ridiculous. I think it's incredibly sketchy. There's definitely something going on where they're trying to – I mean, the Swedish management, somebody in their delegation came out and said that he thought it was conspiracy. But basically, it was to draw more attention for the game by having this guy got kicked out of the game. He's suspended from playing because of this situation. You know, it definitely, you know, I don't know if that's necessarily the case, but it certainly looks something like that. That something went down where they thought, well, we needed to bring up some more attention in this game, so let's have something crazy happen so more people will tune in. I thought it was ridiculous. Of course it would happen to a Washington Capitals player. I mean, if it was going to happen to anybody, of course it would happen to a Caps player. But, you know, the NHL came out and backed him. I mean, Bill Daly came out with a statement saying that we see absolutely nothing, you know, not word for word, but that they saw nothing wrong with what he did and that they see no reason whatsoever that he would be suspended by the NHL. I mean, he took a common allergy medication. You know, what's next? You're going to ban guys for taking Tylenol because they have a headache?
Yeah, they pretty much said that the drug that he tested positive for that's in Zyrtec gives you no edge whatsoever in your sport or anything like that. I take allergy medicine all the time. I tried to actually not use as much allergy medicine last week, and I got sick because I went off it for a day or two because I was trying to cut back on it. And I literally got a cold, and I know it's from not taking the right allergy medication. But he's a guy who's been on this medicine before. It's a very common drug, and it doesn't enhance your sport at all. I mean, if anything, it lets him breathe more, you know, so he's not out of breath all the time. So if they're saying that's an advantage, I mean, I guess in sports that could be, but it doesn't make any sense about this kind of drug, you know, having such an effect when they knew it was going to happen. I really don't like the fact that they took a star player out of the gold medal game 2 hours before this going on. It kind of shows favoritism to Canada, I have to say, and it seems like they didn't want a very competitive game. They wanted it to kind of be a blowout, which is crazy to think about, that something like that could happen. But it makes no sense why they would do this. The NHL doesn't ban substances like that, and it doesn't make any sense. Backstrom, they're holding his medal. They're not even letting him have a medal, which is crazy because he did do, you know, what he had to do in the games leading up to that gold medal game. The guy, he's got to be embarrassed about everything going on. He's got to be pissed about whatever's going on. It's terrible. You're ruining this guy's entire experience of the Olympics. And this, if he got tested, this is another thing. If he got tested on Wednesday, he had to play in the game against Finland to decide who was going to go to the bronze game, who was going to go to the gold game. So that game, he played under the influence of Zyrtec. That is illegal.
That made him the best player on the planet.
Right, you're right. So if anything, the International Ice Hockey Federation should be held accountable for the fact that they allowed a player who, quote-unquote, was doping, and they let him play in a game. They let him play in it because this drug test happened after, or this drug test happened before the bronze game.
Yeah, I mean, it's ridiculous. I mean, what? So the other teams got screwed over? I mean, they have to go back and veto all the games he played in? It's just, it's stupid. The whole thing the whole thing seems sketchy. It's ridiculous that it would happen. And the fact that it was for something that's so common that he's been taking for years that they had to have known about. And then say, oh, well, you went over the allotted amount. Okay, so the allergies are really bad. Like, you know, the fact that it doesn't even help his performance on the ice, for them to go, oh, well, yeah, but he's still cheating. How? How can you say that he's cheating? And the fact that they've had no interest in talking to anyone about this, any of the media, is just – It's incredibly frustrating, and you know what's going to happen. You know they're going to come out and say, sorry, he cheated. He can't have his medal. And you're just going to be like, you mother – you know, it's just – it's so frustrating. And the fact that, you know, we don't know what's going to happen at the next Olympics in 2018, whether they're going to have the NHL players be allowed to go over there and play or not, is just, I mean, the whole thing is just, it's wrong. You know, there's no better way to put it really than that, just to say it's just wrong.
Yeah, so, I mean, we're all on Nicky's side here. We all hope that he gets his silver medal. I mean, he did work for it, and he got screwed over. So, hopefully he comes back to the NHL with a little bit more fire in his belly and is able to play. I mean, he's one of the best players on the Capitals, he hands down. So, you know, we're all behind you, Backy. So, do what you got to do over there. Now, let's talk about Russia here, man. Let's talk about Ovechkin and Team Russia. They didn't even medal. They didn't even get a chance to medal. They're eliminated early. What went wrong with this team? Did Russia just not build a strong team for these Olympics?
I mean, on paper, they were a decent team. I certainly don't think they were the best team, and I didn't have them meddling in any predictions or anything like that, but I certainly expected a better performance. I mean, if you go and you look at that first game, Ovechkin and Malkin both, what, had a goal and an assist, and they didn't do anything since then. You know, a couple of guys stepped up. Yeah, Kovalchuk and Alex Radulov both stepped up. Datsyuk, you know, he was okay, but didn't do great. You know, it was a team of guys that were out there, and there are a lot of star players, but they didn't play well as a team. And that's sort of the thing. If you have star players, it doesn't mean they're necessarily going to be the best team, because you have to find guys that are going to work together. I think that's what the U.S. tried to do, and it just didn't work in the end because they didn't have anybody that was able to put the puck in the back of the net. I think Russia just went for their best players to try and hype up that they have the best team because they have all of these really incredibly talented players, and it just didn't work out.
I found it interesting. There was a report that came out after this loss that Malkin and Ovechkin were butting heads with the head coach from Team Russia because he was showing favoritism to players in the KHL, and he was giving the KHLers more time than these two NHL star players. Do you think there's any truth to that, or is that just, you know, the media?
I wouldn't be surprised if that was the case, but, I mean, the two players from the KHL that he was – you know, maybe been favoriting were Kovalchuk and Radulov, who should both be in the NHL and are incredibly talented players. I mean, you had, what's his name, Medvedev, that was playing a lot on the defense, but the Russian defensive unit wasn't even that good to begin with. You had a lot of offensive guys, but how many of them actually played defense? So, you know, I mean, this was a team that was supposed to go out and just score a ton of goals, and that was the way they were going to beat everybody. But then when everyone else shut down defensively, it became a problem for them. And you know, it was interesting to see that Ovechkin wasn't out there on the power play quite as much. I was not surprised at all to not see him in the shootout against the U.S. Like, that made complete sense, because for whatever reason, he just sucks in the shootout. Like, I can't understand. He was great when he first came into the league, and then he just crapped out. But to have, you know, I felt like I didn't see Malkin and Ovechkin as often as I would have expected. I felt like you put them both out there on the power play as much as possible. I mean, Ovechkin has there's a reason Caps fans call it the Ovi spot. Because he's always right there, scoring on the power play. So why you wouldn't look at one of those games and go, huh, he's pretty good at that. Let me put him there every single freaking timer on the power play. They didn't do it. So, you know, I don't think that they made the best choices in terms of the players, and I don't think the coach did a great job. But to say that there was some sort of conspiracy where he was trying to plug the KHL, that's a hell of a risk, because if, you know, if the team ended up losing and not meddling like they did, then it doesn't help your case. So if that was their plan, it was a dumb plan.
Yeah, it really didn't work out in their favor if that was a plan.
Like, there was no way to come back from. I mean, you just don't admit it, you know, I guess, but, like, it was just, it was a stupid play. What were they going to do? Oh, we medal, and it was because of our KHL players. Yeah, because you paid them more than in the, well, no, for Kovalchuk, that may not necessarily be the case. But Radulov, all he cares about is the money. But, you know, these guys are both good enough to play in the NHL. The other guys that are in the KHL, they're not. Or not yet, you know. I mean, you didn't have Kuznetsov playing. And we still kind of wonder, maybe that would have helped.
Hey, you never know. But hey, let's talk about this. 4 years ago, Ovechkin went to the Olympics. They did not medal again. Didn't even get a chance to really go anywhere near a medal game. And Ovechkin was in a bad mood for about 4 years since the last Olympics. And just now started to find his footing again. How is this going to affect his game in the NHL? Is he going to be moping around and depressed like he's been in the past? Or is he going to be back in the NHL, do you think, and going to play, you know, what he's doing, because he's got Adam Oates on his side now?
I mean, there's really two options for Ovechkin here. He's either going to come back like he did 4 years ago and he's going to be depressed, or he's going to come back pissed off and try and take it out on everyone else in the NHL that's not wearing a Capitals sweater. And I think the difference between 4 years ago and this year is going to be the head coach. I think 4 years ago they had Boudreau, who is a very talented coach, but he's more of a hands-off in terms of, you know, getting involved in the player, I don't know, personally, I guess. You know, he went out there and he had a great offensive unit and plan, but I don't think he got involved as much as Adam Oates does with Ovechkin. I think Oates is going to go, and he even said it, he's going to go and he's going to sit down and talk to him about what happened and what he liked that he did over there and what he thought he did wrong over there, and he's going to work with him. So I think having a coach that's got your back, because Oates immediately came out defending Ovechkin. He came out and said they were using him wrong. You know, I mean, you know, I don't know if you say anything about whether he's playing well or not, but they weren't using him the right way, according to Adam Oates. And I think he's going to go back and he's going to talk to Ovechkin, which I think is a great thing. I think Ovechkin has a great rapport right now with Adam Oates, and I think Oates can use that to help him to play better this time around than how he performed 4 years ago. So I don't expect him to come back and just be the, oh, woe is me kind of player that he's, you know, was to some extent then. I think, you know, he's going to come back, pissed off. And Oates is going to help him push that. And if there's anybody else that's going to be pissed off, it's going to be Nicholas Backstrom. He's like, you know what? Olympics, screw you guys. And I mean, you know, it's not really the same as Ovechkin, but like, both these guys are going to come back pissed off and ready to be like, you know what? Screw you. We're going to go show everybody up. And the Caps need these guys to do that, because they got a hell of a schedule afterwards.
They absolutely do. And this is interesting. We've never seen Ovi and Backstrom kind of hulk up at the same time. So that'll be really interesting to see. And it'd be fun to,
I've never seen Backstrom hulk up.
One time.
The guy's just so calm.
He got suspended in that, in the Stanley Cup playoffs up against the Bruins, remember, because he cross-checked a guy in the throat.
Yeah, that was kind of a dick move on his part.
Yeah, but, you know, hopefully Ovechkin comes back with a chip on his shoulder, but still having the confidence that that he can play and be a great NHL player. So we'll see what happens. From his Instagram that he just opened, it seems like he is enjoying being back in the States with his fiance. One thing I do want to bring well, and one more thing I want to bring up about the Olympics is the fact that after that Team Russia lost, there was the lineup of media waiting to talk to these guys, and Ovechkin got credit, even from the NBC anchors, that he was the only guy to stop and talk to the media.
NBC gave him credit. I was wondering if Milbury was feeling okay.
That's what I wanted to bring up here, because Ovechkin's not a big he doesn't have a lot of supporters in the NBC sports world. So for them to even say, like, wow, this is pretty cool, he actually stopped and talked to us and everything, I'm proud of NBC Sports for saying that. And I'm proud of Ovechkin, because that could not have been easy. That had to be really hard to sit down and do that to the media. Because 4 years ago, after that loss, I remember he saw a fan in a hotel lobby, and he put his hand up and pushed the guy's camera down. So
thought that situation was – initially it was reported that just a fan, but wasn't it end up being like a reporter or a photographer or something, and they like got up right in his face?
I
and he was just trying to like push them away to leave him alone. It wasn't like a malicious thing, and of course everybody blew it out of proportion.
Yeah, I don't know, since I just remember him like kind of pushing the camera away. So Ovechkin, 4 years later, I mean, he's talking to the media. It wasn't easy. I gotta give him credit for that, because that had to be really hard. So being so proud of your country and having all that fire that you were ready to go, you were the hometown team, and you come out and you don't even medal or anything like that, and then you still have time to talk to the media. Gotta give the guy major credit for that.
Yeah, I mean, it's gotta be tough to come out and I think for any athlete, when after a big game, you know, whether it's the Olympics, Super Bowl, the Stanley Cup, or even it's just a regular game in general, to have all that emotion, all that you know, all the energy that you have inside during those games. It's not like when the final whistle blows or the horn goes or anything like that, and you're like, okay, I'm back to normal. Like, you still are fired up to go out and have to talk to the media afterwards. I mean, that's why you see guys who say things and they have to come back and retract it, because it may not be necessarily what they meant. That they were just – it was the emotions at the time. So for him to be able to do that, I thought it was great. I thought that he came out and took the lead. You know, he wasn't even the captain, but he came out and took the lead that he wants to be the guy that was sort of the face of the Olympics. And he came out and told the truth that they did play like crap and they just played poorly. And you got to give him credit. I think a lot of people were prepared to attack him if Russia did not play well. And I think it was harder that, you know, he came out and he told the truth. He didn't avoid confrontation with the media. He came out and he was the only one that spoke to anybody. So I thought that was a great move on his part.
Yeah, absolutely it was. So I guess we should end the Olympics with you know, a congrats to Team Canada for winning back-to-back gold. Good for you. Congrats to
quote Robin Williams, it's your only freak – well, he didn't say freaking, but I'm going to substitute that word in. But it's your only freaking sport, that and a mutant form of football.
So, yeah, congrats, Canada, for winning again. We'll see you in 4 years, hopefully with a better U.S. team.
The nightmare of the time difference between here and Pyeongchang, South Korea, I mean, I thought having to get up at – which I didn't. But getting up at 7 a.m. for a game, I mean – yeah. I don't even know what the time difference is, but that's I mean, like, screw it. I'm not getting up at 4 a.m. to watch. It'll just stay up. No, screw it. I'll just DVR again.
Yeah, you know, do what you got to do to watch the Olympics. But yeah, I don't even want to think about that in 4 years. Where I'll be or where I'll be watching hockey or
you're
what time.
The Summer Olympics.
All right, so that's pretty much it for the Olympics, guys. It's been real fun talking about the Olympics. I hope you've enjoyed Sochi so far. We really enjoyed doing this segment. So let's talk about the Capitals. Let's talk about what's going on with them. Their season kind of starts up again. The boys have been back in Kettler. Everybody's back except for Marcus Johansson, because apparently he had a visa issue and he actually had to go back to Sweden and figure that out.
That's on the way, right?
Sure. Why not?
Yeah, go a little north and then back south again.
Might as well just stop home. Why not? And but it seems as if he's going to meet the guys in South Florida tomorrow on Thursday, right before the game. So that's got to be good news for the Caps.
Yeah, I mean, it sounds like he's going to be, what was it? According to Mike Vogel, he said that he's expected to arrive in Florida on Wednesday, that being today. So he should be joining the team tomorrow for their morning skate. I mean, that's having to go from Russia to Sweden and then to Florida. You know, it's see if he's tired. He's certainly going to be jet lagged one way or another. So it'll be interesting to see if he ends up playing on in Thursday against the Florida Panthers. And I think that's according to Adam Vingan. He believes the reason that the Capitals recalled forward Nicholas, I'm going to butcher his last name, but I'm going to give it a shot, Nicholas DeSchwamp. The reason they recalled him was in case Johansson can't go, which is certainly a good possibility. I think they had to bring somebody in, in case somebody else, like a guy like Hrabowski, aren't ready. The Caps also recalled defenseman Julian Brulette, which I'm not quite sure why they brought him back, because it seems like everybody's pretty much healthy. I mean, Hrabowski and Green are both expected to play, so both of these moves are a little strange to me. But I really got to go back and look at the lineup and see who's going to be playing. That'll be something interesting to take away from tomorrow. So I'll be keeping my eyes on Twitter to see who will be playing in that first game back, because, you know, who knows? Maybe somebody got a sunburn or something and won't be able to play against the Florida Panthers. But the rest, I mean, they got a hell of a schedule the rest of the way. I mean, Adam Vingan tweeted out earlier today that all but two of the Caps' 23 remaining games are against teams in playoff position or within 4 points of a berth.
Oy.
Playoff hockey starts tomorrow. There's no question about it. They have to start playing like it's the playoffs tomorrow if they want to even have a chance to play in the playoffs. They have to play that way until they're told they can't do that anymore because they've been eliminated and no longer have any rinks to go to play. There's no choice. If you go and you act like it's the middle of a game in November, you're screwed. You're not going to make it because, like we just said, and Adam Vingan tweeted, every game is important. Every game is against a team that's trying to get past you or get distance from you because they want to make the playoffs. So they can't go out there and have any of these nights where they're like, well, we just crapped the bed in the first period. Screw it. You know, we'll just play the next game because there may not be a next game. You have to go out and give every game your best shot because otherwise you're not playing in April.
Yeah, I was going to just ask you, what do these guys have to do from now until the end of the season? But pretty much, it's simple. Win. You got to win.
Winning is tough.
Yes, exactly. You need to win because you need these points, and everyone you're facing, doesn't matter if it's West or East, you need to take those points away from them because every single point is important. Like the Capitals, for some reason, love going to overtime this year, so they can't do that anymore. They need 2 points. They can't give any kind of leeway to the other teams. They need to just win. Everybody's got to play at the top of their game. Let's talk about this for a little bit. The Capitals, especially throughout the last couple years, they seem to be a team that takes a long time to find their footing, but eventually throughout the season they figure it out and they usually finish pretty strong. So with that being the case with the Capitals, do you see this as another year where the Capitals started out really shaky but finally figured it out and will end strong? Because with the few games that they have left, it's over 20 games left. The Capitals need to play as hard as they can, and since they are a team that already does finish strong throughout past seasons, that at least seems like it may be in the Caps' favor. But like you said, even though they have finished strong in the past, this is a hellacious schedule with a lot of great teams.
I mean, with the way the roster is built right now, no, I don't see them necessarily making the playoffs because I don't think they have enough top six wingers, to be more specific. And I don't think they have enough quality defensemen to be able to make the playoffs. And even if they do, I don't think they're going to do anything in it because the players that they have just aren't good enough. I think they need to go out and make a couple of trades. And then if they can go out and acquire a couple of players, you know, at least two, I'd say, a top six winger and a defenseman, then I think they have a real shot at making the playoffs and making some noise. But until they get to that point, no, I don't see this team being able to make it in the playoffs, let alone, you know, make a run.
Now, with the trade deadline coming up, before the Olympics, we were talking about the Ryan Miller possibility of him coming to the Capitals, and there was even a rumor of, like, Marcus Johansson.
Why does it keep happening?
And Neuwirth going to Buffalo. But George McPhee came out today. This is the thing that worries me about the fact that maybe this is true, maybe it's not. But he was like, no, we're happy going forward with our two goalies. We like these two guys. Usually that's a sign from George McPhee that he is lying. What's the biggest thing for George McPhee right now before the trade deadline? Is his big thing that he wants to do move out Martin Erat so Erat can be happy, or is it bring in a defenseman, or does he just have his eyes set on Ryan Miller?
The biggest thing for him right now is to worry, because I'm coming after him if he trades for Ryan Miller. That's not true. Dude, McPhee would totally whoop me, because he's a fighter when he played in the NHL. I mean, he's kind of, you know, he's crazy. I'm definitely not trying to take him on. Anyways, the biggest thing for him right now is to go out and acquire. It's tough. I mean, do you want to say a winger? Because they need a guy like a Mike Knuble who can play with Ovechkin and Backstrom, or a defenseman. I think the biggest thing right now for this team is that they need a defenseman. I think you go out and you find someone that can play with Mike Green. Finally, get Mike Green, a defensive-minded, mind you, defensive-minded defenseman to play with Mike Green, because we know Mike Green's not great defensively. He was and can be an outstanding offensive defenseman. Defensively, not so much. So they need to find someone that can cover for him, and he hasn't been able to do that since that one season Jeff Schultz was halfway decent. So, you know, it's tough. Right, it's going to be hard because everybody has a chance to make the playoffs right now. Now, I don't know if Andy McDonald is the guy over in with the Islanders. He's apparently up for grabs for like a first round pick and maybe a half, you know, a mediocre forward. You know, it's a lot to give up for him, I think, potentially, but that could be something that they could look at. Although I don't even know if he's an offensive or defensive minor. He plays for the Islanders, so who cares? But it's just they need to go out and acquire somebody like, you know, when they went out and got Scott Hannon. But, you know, decide to keep him this time. Someone that can come in and play well defensively to cover for Green, because that's their biggest issue right now. And then you want to go out and you want to find a winger to play with Ovechkin and Backstrom. I want to go out and find that Chris Kunitz type guy that the Penguins were able to pull a few years ago. I mean, when they made that trade, I was like, damn it, that's a really good move on their part. Why is McPhee not able to do this? Because that was a perfect move. Just go out and pick up a guy that you can plop in there with Crosby, who can just, you know, he's a good goal scorer, and he can put his butt in front of the goal. So, you know, it annoys me that that McPhee hasn't been able to do this for a while. And I think he's desperate to make the playoffs because he's out of a contract after this season. And if he wants to stick around, he's got to make the playoffs, because if this team doesn't make the playoffs, peace, you're gone, dude. It would be just ridiculous if Leon just decides to bring him back after the team makes the playoffs, with just how many opportunities he's had with first round picks and you know, trade opportunities, and just he's made some boneheaded moves like trading Phil Forsberg in the past. So, you know, he's got a great opportunity here to make a serious push, because it seems like this playoff race, you know, with the aside from Pittsburgh, everybody has a chance to make the almost everybody, maybe not Buffalo, has a chance to make the playoffs in the Eastern Conference. So if you get, you know, you go out and one of the goalies in Holtby or Neuwirth get hot, you know, then you could certainly do some damage. But you don't go out and acquire Ryan Miller, an aging goaltender who, yes, he is on top of his game right now. You know, but he's not going to be there forever. Are you really going to, you know, go out and give up a ton of value in prospects and picks and potential players that are already on your roster to acquire a guy that isn't your biggest concern right now? I mean, they can go out and say all they want, all these goalies should be playing better. Yeah, so should the other rest of the freaking team. At some point in this season, I'm pretty sure everybody has done something wrong. And how he hasn't mentioned anything about Brouwer or Like, yes, Like's a little distracted right now with the hottie hot he's got dating. But, you know, it's just wow, nice job, Brooks, by the way. But it's ridiculous that no one's said anything about Brouwer or Brooks Like right now, and the fact that they're not doing jack. And how Erat is still on this team. Maybe the trade market is dead. We haven't really seen a lot of like top moves lately, but things are going to start heating up between now and March 5th. So you got to make a move, dude, because you're running out of time.
Yeah, absolutely. And March 5th, I mean, I think that's right before our next show. So hopefully we'll have some stuff to actually talk about trade-wise. So we'll see what happens with this trade deadline coming up. But Capitals' first game since the Olympics is up against the Florida Panthers. I think this is not going to be an easy game, but at least that's a nice little cushion with the past that the Capitals and Panthers have had to kind of get back into the swing of things. So, but after that, it's brutal, man. It is totally brutal. So the Capitals they need to come out swinging and keep on sweating and keep trying to hit home runs every single time they go out on that ice and win doing as much as possible. So before we leave Caps World, I want to bring up Caps prospect, who we may be seeing soon, Evgeny Kuznetsov. He recorded 2 assists for Traktor in a loss against Dynamo Moscow. Russian Machine NeverBreaks.com reported on the game. And due to Traktor losing, they are still in the 8th spot for their conference, because the KHL is still in the regular season. And they are just 2 points ahead of the 9th team, Admiral Vladivostok. You know, Admiral. We're going to call them Admiral.
We're calling the Admirals.
Those guys are up against the 2nd worst team in the league in Metallurg, Nova Scotia, or some shit like that. With a regulation win, Admiral would leap over Traktor with 3 points. So Traktor still alive, but maybe not for long. So if Traktor were to not make the playoffs, Kuznetsov would be available even sooner rather than later. So we're still on Kuznetsov watch, and we're going to see what happens with him. Anything else we should talk about in Caps World, or do we cover everything?
Final thing is that Jack Hill, and hey, remember him, he was sent down to Hershey on a conditioning stint. No word on when he may be ready to come back and rejoin the Capitals, but he did play for Hershey the other night. I believe he recorded like 5 or 6 shots in the loss. So it's nice to see that he's up and skating for his own well-being, but he's not. I don't think he's the guy that's going to come in and be able to save this team. And I swear to God, McPhee, you better not come out and use, oh, well, Hill and coming back is a reason not to upgrade the defensive core. He's like trading for a new player. No, he's not, because he's not going to help you. Hillen's an offensive-minded defenseman. He's not the kind of guy that's going to come out and help you. You need a defensive-minded player. So if I swear to God, if he comes out and says that, I'm just going to say mean things to you on Twitter, because that's really all I can do. It's ridiculous. I mean, Hillen, yeah, it's back. It's nice that he's playing. He's an upgrade, I think, unless Orlov starts to improve, because going into the Olympic break, he wasn't playing the best hockey. So Hillen may be an upgrade there, and Erskine just sucks at the moment, so Hillen's an upgrade there in general. I don't think he's the guy. He's like, oh, we got Hillen back, now we're ready to go. No, you're not. You still have a giant hole on this roster on the defensive core.
Yeah, Jack Hillen, I know he said he is not ready to play up against the Florida Panthers, so we won't be seeing him on Thursday night. But past that, he may be coming back up to the Capitals, so we will see soon. I don't think Hillen's the answer either. I think that he's a good defenseman, but I don't think he's the greatest defenseman in the world. And I don't think that if he comes back, you don't look for another defenseman out there on the trade market. So Jack Hillen, might see him sooner rather than later, but we'll see what happens. So that's pretty much it for Caps World. We're going to go up 83 and talk Hershey Bears and Reading Royals. But before we do that, let's make a pit stop in Baltimore and talk about the Baltimore Sports Report Network.
What the fuck? What the fuck? Is a member of the Baltimore Sports Report Network. Find more podcasts like this at BaltimoreSportsReport.com.
All right, Caps fans, we talked about this last week. I'm going to tell you about it all again. Section 336, a Baltimore Orioles podcast on the Baltimore Sports Report Network. They're having their first live show to celebrate their 1-year anniversary as a podcast. Make sure you come out Sunday, March 16th at 8 p.m. in Arnold, Maryland at Mother's Peninsula Grill. They're going to do a live episode of Section 336. There's going to be giveaways. There's going to be an audio and video event. All kinds of good stuff. There's going to be great food, and you get to hang out with a bunch of podcasters. Podcasters helping podcasters, man. I love that idea. I did say this last week, but apparently I am wrong. The Walking Dead will not be over by March 16th. But guys, that's what DVRs are for, man. That's what DVRs are for. Just stay off Twitter for like an hour or two. You'll be fine. The show starts at 8 p.m., okay? They'll do a show, and then you can catch the ending of The Walking Dead when you come home, all right? So that's okay. Section 336. Year 1 live show, Sunday, March 16th, 8 p.m. at Mother's Peninsula Grill in Arnold, Maryland. Make sure you check these guys out on Facebook, and make sure you say you are going to their event. You can check them out, facebook.com/section336. 1-year anniversary show, man. Congrats, guys. Live show, live podcast, nothing better than that. We will see you guys there on March 16th. All right, we're going up 83. We're talking Hershey Bears, Reading Royals. We just talked about the Hershey Bears. Jack Hillen's up there eating some chocolate if he's not on the ice. What else is going on in Chocolate Town?
Well, since we last talked, the Bears didn't have the best of games. They went 0-3 with two losses to Syracuse, including one of them being at Verizon Center in the AHL Showcase, and a loss to the Baby Pens, so that's not so great. They currently sit fourth in the East Division with 64 points and are ninth in the Eastern Conference. However, they're only 1 point out of second in their division, so with a few wins, they're right back in it. There's still a great chance for the Bears to be playing playoff hockey in the AHL. Now, Reading, on the other hand, they have gone 2-2 since last week, with both of their wins being over Gwinnett. I don't even know where that is in the country. They currently sit – not a clue. They currently sit at first in the Atlantic Division with 62 points. However, they're only two up on Wheeling and are fourth in the Eastern Conference. So they are right in the playoff hunt. They got to keep winning because it looks like Wheeling is making a push to get back in there and take that top spot in the in the Atlantic Division. That's the past week in minor league hockey.
All right. Good luck to the Hershey Bears and the Reading Royals. Do what you gotta do, up 83. Now, let's go around the NHL. Alright, the NHL's getting into full swing. Everybody's back from the Olympics. Coach Dan, what's going on around the NHL?
Well, as Ted Starkey put it on Twitter, we got 7 days of silly season left, so that should be a lot of fun. Everything's going to be going crazy building up to the trade deadline, but in the news that's happened in the past week, longtime Colorado Avalanche Milan Hajduk announced his retirement on Monday. He spent 14 years with the same organization, which is pretty impressive in this day and age where everybody gets traded. He finishes his career having played 1,020 games, scoring 375 goals and 430 assists. He is the only player since the team moved to Colorado that has played 1,000 games for the Avalanche, so that is pretty cool. Congratulations to him on a fantastic career. Interesting news started coming around today that longtime Tampa Bay Lightning Mark Tan St. Louis, yeah, you, Frodo, has reportedly requested a trade. Put that in the saw-that-coming department. I mean, that's kind of ridiculous. I didn't expect that at all. Now, there were rumors during the Olympics, I believe, that he was actually going to go to New York for Ryan Callahan, and while that may still happen, no one really knows where he may be going. So that should be a lot of fun. I actually just saw on Twitter a few moments ago that Ryan Kesler of the Vancouver Canucks has also requested a trade.
Really?
However, he came out and said it's not true, but you know, where there's smoke, there's fire, so there's certainly a chance that he may be getting moved out at the trade deadline, but you never know what may happen. Report right now that I'm seeing is that Kesser was telling people he wanted out of Vancouver after the bronze medal game. You know, I don't know about the team or anything, but, like, Vancouver's a nice city.
Oh,
so,
yeah.
Like, I mean, there are a lot of places that you could go that are not, you know, when you leave the arena, it looks a lot crappier. You know, so you know, there's got to be something going on in Vancouver that he wants out. If that is the case, the Buffalo Sabres have basically come out and said that they are going to trade goalie Ryan Miller. Don't do it, George. Don't do it, dude. Not playing. Don't even that. Just no. And I was kind of surprised that the Sabres would come out and say that they're going to trade Ryan Miller, which you would think would hurt his trade value. But he's just so damn good. I don't think it'll make a difference. I mean, it's not like they're going to hang on to the guy. They suck. They're going to fire sale and try and rebuild starting next season. Islander star John Tavares will not need surgery on his left knee after injuring it in the Olympics. I think he blow up his ACL, MCL, LCL, and any other CL possible, I think, in his knee. I mean, with the way Gar Snow reacted, it sounded like his leg had literally exploded. But he will, even though he won't need surgery, he will still be out for up to 8 to 12 weeks. Nashville has sent goalie Pekka Rinne down to the Milwaukee Admirals on a conditioning stint, so it looks like their star goalie may be ready to return. Did you really know that he is a two-time Vezina Trophy finalist? I didn't even realize that, but damn, that dude became a hell of a goalie and just had a crappy season because of injuries. This is a little bit of fun news. Carolina defenseman Andre Sekera prefers to have his last name now pronounced Sakara. Yeah, okay, yeah, whatever, dude. Like, really? Okay. So I thought that was funny that Carolina had to – the Carolina official Twitter put that one out there. So, awesome. I just thought it was funny. And that Minnesota traded defenseman Brian Connolly to Chicago for forward Brad Winchester. That's the past week in the NHL.
All right, plenty of stuff going on in the NHL. They are ready to go. We should bring up the fact that the Stadium Series is continuing in Chicago this weekend, Chicago versus Pittsburgh, and those guys are getting ready. I don't know if you saw Marc-Andre Fleury's Steelers inspired gear, but hey, you know.
No, I haven't seen that yet, and I got to be honest, I have very little interest.
Yeah, you know, I'm probably not going to watch that game. I do like Chicago, but... Ugh, Penguins. Ugh. All right. So if you're ready for some NHL hockey, you don't have to wait very much longer. We have three games until we talk again on Thursday, February 27th. The Capitals are in South Florida up against the Panthers. That game starts at 7:30 on Comcast Sportsnet. Saturday, March 1st, the Capitals go up to Boston, go up against the Bruins. That time, it starts at 1 o'clock in the afternoon. All right, that's weird. That game will be a national game on the NHL Network as well as on Comcast Sportsnet locally here in Maryland, D.C., and Virginia. And then on Sunday, March 2nd, Caps are back home in the phone booth up against the Philadelphia Flyers. That game starts at 12:30, and that is a national game on NBC. So that's just a back-to-back for the first week. And next week, after that, Wednesday, Thursday, they are up against the Flyers and Bruins again. So this, we've been talking about this schedule. This is going to be brutal. Coming out of the Olympics, you've got a guy like, you know, Tuukka Rask, who's pretty happy with his performance in the Olympics. So he's definitely going to be a guy to watch, a goalie to watch up against the Capitals and the Bruins. So a lot of stuff coming up, a lot of good hockey to watch. Got about a month and a half left. That's it, man. Month and a half left until the Caps either quit and are done after the regular season or go on to the postseason and play in some Stanley Cup playoffs. So this month and a half is going to be very, very important to the Capitals. We'll be with you all the way along the way, man. So you got anything to say to us, you know where to tweet to us. You can tweet to me at Brando Cash and Coach Dan. He's on Twitter as well. Where can people follow you?
You can find me at WTP Coach Dan. You can also find me at CapitalsOutsider.com. This is Cap's fan-run website devoted to the Washington Capitals. That's CapitalsOutsider.com. But Brandon, what about the Brando Cash Network?
That's right. Go to Facebook.com/BrandoCash. Make sure you like the network over there. You can find information on this show and all the other shows on the Brando Cash Network. And go to Facebook.com/WTP Podcast. Two P's in that title. Like What the Puck over there. We'll let you know whenever a new show comes out over there. The show is also on Twitter at WTP_podcast. So make sure you give us a follow as well. This show is done completely for free. You guys stream and download it completely for free as well. So make sure you are sharing the show on social media. Be social with the show. Let people know that you are a proud Caps fan, you rock the red, and that you listen to What the Puck, and they should too. So tell people on Facebook and Twitter and Tumblr and Pinterest and Vine and Instagram and Reddit and Google Plus and anywhere you're social on the web, be social. Let people know about What the Puck. Leave us an iTunes review. Let people know on Stitcher. Give us a thumbs up on Stitcher. Let the people over at the Baltimore Sports Report Network, that let them know that you listen to What the Puck. Let everybody on CapsHill.com, let them know that you listen to What the Puck as well. We are available all over the place. So any way you listen to us, thank you no matter what. So that's pretty much it for What the Puck. We are finally going to get some NHL hockey back on TV up against the Panthers in South Florida. Hey, let's go Caps.
This has been a production of the Brando Cash Network. Music mixed and produced by DJ Wolfman.
So if that's it for that,
as Ted Starkey said, we got 7 days left. I'm sorry, seven. Let me try that whole part again because I just butchered what he said on Twitter. Damn, it was a good line too.